like a sandwich.
Alright then.
Alright then. Attention!
Listen up, you bellends. It's Lord Luke and Baron Blake here.
Alright, you fucking mingers. We're getting ready for another episode of the podcast. And we are unsure if the word I just said is okay. Welcome to BLT.
Oh, I love this country.
We're recording this in Oxford, England. Blake and I are in the UK. Tyler, back at home in Australia.
Holding down the fort.
And we will cut for a little Tyler update soon.
Yep.
We'll cut across.
Yep.
But for now, we'll give you an update of what we've been up to. It's been a big first week. You've been here for longer than I have.
Yep, been here, 3 days longer, I think, 2 or 3 days. It's been good.
So you're pretty much a local.
I know, feel good to be back home in the motherland. It's good to back home with, you know, it's good to get back to the roots.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of what? Your generational alcohol problem.
Yeah. I feel at home. It was good. The flight fucking sucked.
Yeah, it was not okay. I didn't sleep for 40 hours because I can't sleep in a chair. I'd just be a terrible old man.
No, it was a very stressful day as soon as we got to the airport because my parents stayed with us the night before and then drove me and Zoe to the airport and then proceeded to drive off. And then as we were checking into our flight about 30 minutes later, Zoe was like, oh shit, I forgot my ID. So it really put the stress levels at a high level early on in the trip.
But do you need your ID?
Well,
you just need your passport.
You do just need your passport.
That's a form of ID.
Yeah, but you know, you would prefer to have two in case one of them gets lost.
I guess, but like you can't even, this is how dumb I am. Like the only thing you need it for is getting into a pub, but I'm sure there's other reasons as to why you might need to identify yourself. But you don't. Like, our Australian license doesn't go a long way here.
No.
Actually, I needed it for the rental car.
Oh.
To prove that I could get behind the wheel.
Yeah, true. Yeah, righto. But yeah, the flight was, we stopped through Singapore and we flew Singapore Airlines, which was scary even before we got on the flight. And then I copped the middle seat for both flights, the 8-hour flight and then 40-minute stopover. And then a 13-hour flight, both in the middle seat.
Did you just do that to save like $20 or something?
No, that's just what we got put in. Just randomly.
You can't select?
We could select, but I, because I thought it was like, every time I've flown internationally, for some reason, I just thought it was like something fucked up. Yeah, I think I fucked up.
I think it was your brain.
Yeah.
It was user error.
It does that. And I've accidentally selected. Because I'm not gonna dog my girlfriend with a middle seat. So I was like, I think I did select it for one because that was the only one available.
Oh, she wanted the window, and
yeah, and then okay. I got stung the second time. It really sucked. But I can sleep on flights, but I didn't sleep as much as I had hoped. I think I got like maybe 5 hours in total. It was so funny. I'm one of the people that looks at the flight path for way too long during the flight.
Yeah,
I just think it's the most interesting bit.
You're like, whoa,
we're going over to Turkey. That's where I'm going to be in 5 years. Let's go. And then I looked over and I just started pissing myself laughing on this plane because you're just going over from Singapore to London. Not sure if anybody knows geography, but if you just went direct in a straight line, it's just diagonal the whole way. But instead of going diagonal, you go through a couple of countries. And then as soon as it says Baghdad, you just go, whoop, I'm going to take a right. And then you just divert over that, Ukraine,
yeah,
and all of the countries that you will get shot down.
Yeah, it was a detour. Look, I noticed us do that on the flight map as well. And I was like, this is a detour I'm happy to make. Happy to just chuck on an extra movie and ride this one out.
Yeah. And then I also, what makes the flight go way longer is when you're checking like how long it takes, like how many hours to go. And then, but you always catch a glimpse, because I didn't have it on my screen, but I would always just accidentally catch a glimpse of the person in front of me. Because I think it was, Yeah, 13 hours. I think maybe 12 of those hours, they had that little flight path thing on.
Just staring at it.
Yeah. And I was like, that. I've slotted myself behind someone who's on the spectrum, so now I can just see the flight time, the entire flight. So I went to sleep and then woke up, and I thought I'd deleted like all the flight because I was like half asleep, had half my eyes open. And I was like, holy shit, does that say 3 hours to go? This is fucking awesome. And then I opened my eyes. It was like 9.5 hours to go. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of autism.
Yeah.
The people that just stare at the flight log the whole time.
Yeah.
Like the little simulator. It's like that awful movie they make, Planes, like the ripoff of Cars.
Mm.
But nothing happens and it goes for 13 hours. the highlight of the whole flight, there was a kid opposite me and he was watching the movie Up.
Yeah.
Right? The Pixar classic.
Yep.
And now I look at the screen, then I look at him and I notice it's like quite a chubby kid who's got like tan skin and wearing a little yellow hat. And I just start freaking out. I go, Meg's asleep next to me.
Fuck, how did Tyler get on the flight?
I wake up Meg. I go, wake up. She's like, what? She's so angry at me. She's like, why would you wake me up? I just got to sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. It's worth it. Trust me. I go, look. He's watching his own movie. She looks up at the screen and the kid from Up is on the screen perfectly timed as I say it. And Meg starts losing her mind. She's like, thank you so much for waking me up.
That's awesome. So I would have rather getting woken up to a bit. I got woken up to, I think if I just went to sleep at the moment when I first got on that last flight, I reckon I would have deleted probably 10 hours. Mm. But then Zoe woke me up when the food was coming out, and I would have rather just go through all the way and maybe just eat at London, like when we got to the airport.
Yeah, the food was grim. I mean, obviously, it's a plane.
Our food wasn't too bad. I don't mind airplane food.
Yeah, I don't mind some of it. I'm just fussy. It has stuff in it that I'm like, I don't like mushrooms or spinach or eggs.
I think spinach, mushroom and egg should just not be served on any flight, because what I did to the toilet of Singapore Airlines flight Singapore to London, we may as well have just flown over Baghdad, because bombs were being dropped left, right and center in that toilet. It would have been considered an act of terror.
Yeah.
When I landed at Heathrow, I should have been arrested for treason.
For treason?
Yeah.
Like, you've been terrorism?
Terrorism, yeah.
Or was it such a nasty shit that you felt like you betrayed the monarchy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I did. As soon as they open the cabin doors, it just leaks out and they're like, oh, Blake Pavey's touchdown.
Yeah. Sorry, the jet lag. It's made us forget the intros once again. Yeah. We're jet lagged every week in Australia as well, it seems, but
I will go first. Are we doing British themed?
Yeah, let's go British.
I was gonna do Lord, but I've already said I'm Lord Luke. Hi guys. My name's Luke. I am the liege of BLT.
Good, 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 good. All right, my name is Blake and I am the Brit of BLT. I was trying to think of something a little bit more niche, but then I thought...
You went for the country's name.
Yep.
A thing I noticed on every international flight I've ever been on, there's always a random dude watching Lord of the Rings. Mm. It doesn't matter where the flight's going, where it's coming from, what country you're in, what the demographics are like. There's always one guy just with Aragorn in the corner, and you can tell it's – so people must do it every single day, all up in the sky. People are going, oh, I've never watched it.
Mm.
The trilogy goes for 9.5 hours. I'll do it on an international flight.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing with Dune. I watched part one and part two and – yeah, it was a movie.
I might do it with Avatar on the way back. I might rewatch the first one again and then watch Way of the Water if it's available.
I always try and watch a couple movies that I've never, like blockbusters I missed out on, and then old movies that I just missed or that I like feels like pop culture wise I need to fill. And I try and watch one weird thing I would never watch, and I did exactly that. I watched Dune 1 Part 2, I watched Willy Wonka trip balls in the desert while he was drinking his own piss. Great stuff there. Pretty much Mad Max without cars.
Yeah.
On a space planet. They're just on Tatooine, but yeah, the acting's better.
Yeah, that's good. Well, my method on a flight is I just want to delete. I'll like increment. I'll just go, what's the longest movie on the flight? And I'll just watch the longest and just go down until I can delete as much of the flight as possible. So I maybe rewatched Oppenheimer again on the flight.
Oh my God.
The way it was intended to be viewed.
Yeah. With noise cancelling headphones with pressurized cabin noise around you.
It's great. No, but I got the noise cancelling headphones, so it drowns it out now. Didn't have the cabin. It was a lifesaver on the flight.
The noise cancelling headphones. Yep. Oh, you gotta. If you're not rocking the noise cancelling headphones, I know they're expensive, but if you are gonna do a big flight overseas, it will save your life.
Yeah.
You'll forget how much the headphones cost immediately by how much comfort. It's like a little cone of silence. And I was just putting the noise cancelling on and just no music.
Mm.
I was just ripping my own thoughts.
Yeah, I did that for a bit as well.
Which is a grim listen.
Do you know what I also saw? There's always a dude watching something like Avatar or Lord of the Rings. I got onto the first flight and then I watched again and he was going, he just had me and Zoe's route. And I thought he maybe just went to Singapore, but he just raw dogged the flight. I watched him. He was like an aisle over. He was in the middle aisle. And then I just watched this bloke get on the flight with jeans on, like Doc Martin sort of shoes, and then no headphones, no nothing. He just got his little warm towel at the start, patted his face, and then I just kind of saw him sit there for 8 hours in the first flight, just sort of sitting there, watched a movie maybe. But a lot of the flight was just sitting there. And then he got on the other flight with us as well, and he did the same thing.
Cool to know you met a serial killer though on the flight.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think it was just someone over the age of 40, really.
Yeah, I wonder what my parents would do.
It's real dad energy to just be like, all right, well, fuck, strap in, and then just sit there in silence for 13 and a half hours.
Yeah, like my dad went to America in like the 80s. I wonder what they did on that flight. Probably just sat there. They probably talked.
Ugh.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
Nah. I hated talking to, like, I hate the... That was the worst part about the middle seat as well. Like every time I needed to piss, I had to wake the dude next to me up. So the first flight I pissed like twice, and then the second flight I just didn't get up.
You see, I was in the exit row. I was getting up to piss sometimes when I didn't even need to because I was so bored.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe I could go hang out in the toilet for a bit. Change up the scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was excruciating. But anyway, we get to London, touchdown, met up with Blake. It was, look, the first day, I felt bad because you'd already done all the touristy things. You got here a few days before I did. So I dragged you back to all the Buckingham Palace and what else did we do?
Went to...
Big Ben was near there.
Yeah.
And the London Eye and whatever the river themes.
If you just watch Garfield 2... Where he goes to, and that was us, essentially.
We didn't go, I haven't seen the Spider-Man bridge this time. But, I got an argument on the street with some bloke trying to flog Jesus off onto me.
Oh, I think I've still got the pamphlet.
Yeah, you took it. Yeah. That's so funny. He was like, join the Lord. And then I was just like ignoring him. And then Blake takes a pamphlet and he goes, that is a wise man. Who joins the Lord?
Yeah, I believe it. When I took the pamphlet, he was like, that's a wise man who follows the Lord. And then he was like, and you just go, no, it's not. He's a fucking nerd. And then the crossing light was red and you were just like, look at this. And then you just ran across the road.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I don't follow the Lord or the fucking rules. And then I presented to Jaywalk.
I would have been like, I agree with you. And I think it's so funny that you took the stance you did. It would have been funny if God intervened and you got hit by a bus.
It would have been hilarious because I agree. Yeah. That would have been the funniest outcome for each party.
Yeah.
Maybe not for me personally, but I respect a good bit.
Yeah.
And I like the comedic timing of me being hit by a double decker on my first day.
Yeah.
But you know, don't force your beliefs on people in the street. How about that?
Yeah.
He was one of those doomsday people. He had like these big cutout signs in him that was like, Armageddon is coming, so follow Jesus. And I was like, how is this related?
No, yeah.
I guess it's when you die in Armageddon, you go to heaven.
Yeah, but I don't think it's up to Jesus. He kind of gets you on the door and then the big guy's got to let you through, I guess.
Oh, you think Jesus is like the bouncer?
Yeah.
God's like...
No, no, I think God's the kingpin. I think God's the bouncer slash owner, but I think Jesus is the dude who's like, yeah, I can get you in.
Jesus is like, use my list.
Yeah.
Use my list for potential free entry.
Yeah.
And then my daddy will decide.
Yep.
Okay. That's true.
The first day I got to London, we landed on June 1st, which was the first day of summer here, which was great. But me and Zoe didn't realize we knew it was going to be busy, but it was like so, so busy in London. And we were like, what's going on today? And then we talked to our Uber driver and he was like, oh, it's the Champions League final tonight at Wembley Stadium. And I was like, oh, shit, like the big soccer final. And then so London was just packed with all of these soccer fans. It was like Real Madrid versus some Russian team or something like that. I don't really know who was playing.
But Real Madrid is a Spanish team.
Yeah.
In the Champions League.
Yeah.
Are they in the English? The Champions League is like the second league under the Premier League, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And there's Spanish teams in it.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Isn't it just an English and Welsh competition?
I don't believe so.
Or was it the FA Cup? I don't know how. Look, I don't know much about soccer. I called it soccer on stage the other night, and I got just greasies.
UEFA Champions League, Dortmund versus Real Madrid.
Huh.
UEFA must stand for like Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, some bullshit, right? And then so London's packed with all of these Russian and Spanish fans, and just heaps of soccer fans. So me and Zoe were like, we were knackered, but it was like we landed in London at like 7 a.m. So we were like, it'll fuck us up if we go to sleep now. So we just went to a pub. We did the touristy shit. And then in the Arvo, we went to a pub, maybe like 1 or 2 p.m. And the soccer started at 8 and the pubs were just packed. It was like grand final day. It was awesome. And then we're in the pub for maybe 20 minutes. And then they just like ring a bell. And then the lady just goes, we have to shut the pub. Somebody's been stabbed. And then we looked outside and there were like ambulances, police cars. And then we saw, you know, when like they, you can see them like gathering and huddling around.
Yeah.
And you know, someone's on the ground, like in the middle
Hang
of
on,
that.
Hang on, shut the pub or just lock the door? Like lock in?
They locked in the pub.
But they were still serving?
They were still serving. Oh. They didn't serve food though. They were like, no food, guys.
Out of respect. But we'll still keep serving drinks.
Yeah.
Because we're not animals.
Yeah.
That's your dream.
Oh no,
I can't leave the pub. They put a lock on the door.
Yeah.
You know what? It's because you took the pamphlet. Your prayers were answered. The Lord is with you and you with him. Yeah. And he's thanked you for being like, go on, Blakey.
I'll tell you
have
what.
Another three.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. He was not with the fucking bloke outside. I'll tell you that.
He probably didn't take the pamphlet.
No, he didn't. No. But so they locked the pub and then I was like, oh, so do we, like what happens now? Do we have to just like stay here? And they were like, yeah, just keep drinking if you want. So we're like, awesome, let's go. And then like maybe 20 minutes after that.
they lock the door and you just like grab the key and piff it.
I eat the key. but then, so we just keep drinking. And then after maybe about 30 minutes, they're like, okay, guys, we're going
to
like.
I thought you were about to say 30 pints. And I was like, oh, fuck, they locked the door for 2 hours, did they?
And then they open up the doors again, but they're still not letting people in. They're like, I think it's like a rule, like that they must have to wait till everybody clears. But every time someone would leave, they would just tell them to be careful because they obviously didn't get the bloke who stabbed someone. Like the police weren't able to, because apparently that's what happens. They just like stab and then they just like bolt.
Oh, yeah, no one's committing crimes usually and hanging around to see what happens.
No, that would be counterproductive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a criminal, but if I was, I reckon I'd leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, was the person fine? You don't know.
I don't know. I believe
they got taken to hospital.
I believe so, yeah.
Well.
But yeah, it was wild. The one thing we did plan out in advance to do as a group together was Zoe and Meg were really, really keen on doing a Jack the Ripper walking tour.
Yeah, because he's kind of like the OG serial killer. Pre-Netflix doco, Jack the Ripper was kind of the guy.
Yeah.
And therefore, white girls to this day still fascinated. But I don't know what it is. To me, personally, I'm more interested in like, you know, World War II history of England or really medieval history, like a long time ago. Something about a serial killer just fascinates. Let's be honest. I was looking at the demographic of the tour, mainly women.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There was a lot of boyfriends kind of literally being dragged around East London going, yeah, right, so what other horrific shit did this bloke do?
Yeah. I don't know what I expected, but it is literally just that you walk to maybe five spots and then he talks about it for 10 minutes.
He'll be like, oh, he killed one of his victims under a bridge three blocks from here. And you're like, why don't we go there? He's like, no, we can't. It's a hospital now. And you're like, okay. Yeah.
It is weird to be standing outside of a Burger King and you're like, oh, somebody was killed here. Yeah. Jesus Christ. But
well, I think you need to address the controversy that happened. So we're on this tour, right at the start of the tour. I've never seen Blake fumble the bag harder.
And I fucked up.
You had a chance for glory. I guess you could have become the hero of the tour early.
Can you imagine if the Matildas were playing England in the World Cup final and then it went to a penalty shootout, it was all tied up, Sam Kerr's the last kicker, and the English goalkeeper just goes, I'm actually just going to leave right now, open goal, and Sam just kicks it into the stands.
Yeah.
That is what I did.
No, I think it's like if she deflates the ball and then takes a shit on it and then throws it the other way and she gets a handball. Because you had it all, dude.
Yeah.
And you were right ready to take the cake. So the tour starts and we walk to our first spot where the guy who's running the tour is going to tell the first part of this Jack the Ripper story.
Yeah.
And there's an older gentleman in the tour group and he falls over, stumbles so badly that he drops his coffee all over the ground.
And there is an audible...
Everyone goes, ooh. Just across the group. But you know when humans fall down in public, weirdly everyone just goes, ooh, and no one helps them?
No, nobody. Yeah, the tour guide standing right next to him was just like, are you okay?
Yeah, he was just like, oh, like he was almost just got annoyed that the guy interrupted him.
Yeah, he fell over and then he's like, all right. And then just came to the start of the tour.
So this guy falls over, spills his coffee. It's so fresh. The coffee is still running down the pavement. The guy's just picked up his cup and Blake leans over quite loudly and goes, ah, you could call him Jack the Spiller. And a few people kind of just turn around and go, oh, dude. And he gets a few greasies from the group. And then I just go, come on, dude. Jack the Tripper was right there. What are you doing? You're a professional comedian and you went with Jack the Spiller. And I think a few other people were like, come on, man, Jack the Tripper was right there.
Yeah, I fucked up, man.
You had it all. You could have said, dude, I reckon the guy who tripped would have laughed. If you had have been like, call this guy Jack the Tripper within 5 minutes of starting a Jack the Ripper tour.
Yeah.
I don't reckon the guy running the tour could have followed you. I reckon it would have crushed so hard.
Dude, it would have been the best opener ever.
Ow, what were you thinking?
I don't know, man. It was just, I was kind of scared because I was like, ooh, a prostitute got murdered here. I didn't know what to do. And then I was rattled
by the history.
Yeah. But then I believe I may have scored a point back.
Right towards the end of the tour, Blake had a redemption arc.
Yeah, at the end of the tour. Now, I can't exactly remember what the setup was.
You had maybe two or three Ripper lines in a row, and you've kind of had a few people, like especially our group, giggling along.
Mm.
And then it was your brother, it was Aaron who's videoing with us, Meg and Zoe, right?
Yep.
And there was another couple as well I saw you got a giggle out of. I agree. I forget what you said.
It was something came up. Now, this sounds weird, and it probably doesn't sound funny in the form of a podcast when we tell this story a week after it happened. But there was something. My brother, I think, made a connection between Jack the Ripper and the movie Pitch Perfect. Oh, that was it. He was like, oh, are they going to have like a – they should have like a riff off. Something along those lines. And I just go, more like Jack the Riffer, eh? And that got me back. Everybody was like, okay, you've done it.
I was like, it's so good he's back.
Yeah.
I was like, he went missing for about 45 minutes there. Yeah. It was sick. Well done, man.
Thank you, mate.
It's cool to see someone not give up.
Nah, it's good.
Like that after the Jack the Spiller incident.
Yeah. But do you know what I have to say, and I'm not sure, we didn't really talk about it with the group. I feel like it was just a bit of a silent, that was all right, with the group afterwards. I was a little bit disappointed with the tour.
Oh, it sucked.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I'm glad we're getting this out of the way now.
Oh, I thought we were all on the same page.
I thought we were as well, but I think it was a bit of like a, all right, that's a thing we did, and let's just go to the pub.
No, it's because the girl suggested it, and then you're right. I think me and you maybe immediately after weren't feeling comfortable to be like, what a fucking waste of time and money that was.
Yeah.
And Blake fumbled the bag.
Yeah. Like,
lucky you made up for it with the jack. That's really because by the end of the tour, the guy lost me a little.
Yeah.
And I was then more focusing on, can Blake come back from this? Has he got anything more?
Yep. Because the thing that I liked the most about the tour was the fact that the guy was just really interested in the history, and everybody's allowed to have their passions, but it does make it really boring, and it is quite a serious subject. But when you put Aussie tourists in the mix, it is just a breeding ground for trying not to laugh.
Yeah, well, he certainly wasn't Jack the Ripper.
No. And also, I realized that it was maybe going to be shit the first night I was in London, because it was like our tour was booked for 7:30 p.m. 7:30 p.m. rolls around. It looks like midday.
Oh, yeah. The sun sets here at 9:24 p.m.
Yeah, because I thought it would be a little bit spooky and creepy if it's like really, really dark in London. You're in these little corridors, these little alleys. That would have been a bit more immersive. But it's kind of just light outside, and he's like, ooh, this is where they died.
I did a ghost tour in York last year, and that was nighttime. It was cold. It was kind of icy, and talking about the horrible history that York is built on and awful things and why people think there's ghosts and it's haunted. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And the guy was doing a bit of, ooh, and I was like, I like the theatrics.
Yeah.
As a man of the arts myself. Keep going.
Yep. Yeah. It was great. But it was also so funny. There was obvious beef between Jack the Ripper walking tour groups.
Oh, the guy who we had was so self-conscious. He kept bringing up how the people hated him and that he had beef with the other tour guides. And he's like, oh, this tour walking past, God, let me tell you about them. And we're like, dude, I don't care about your weird beef.
And then he takes us to a spot. And we were the first ones in that entire area. And he was like, I like taking you guys here. I like taking you guys here because it is the best place to talk to you about this murder. And then 20 meters to our left that we'd already walked past is a massive plaque dedicated to one of the victims. And then the next group stands in front of that plaque because that tour guide obviously had a fucking brain attached in his skull. All right. And then as soon as that group stands there, our tour guide just goes, oh, see, this is why I get angry.
Yeah. He goes, I would love to show you the plaque. But there is a rival group.
He called them a rival group.
Yeah. It's like a gang.
I was like, all right, they're just a tourist that saw a different Facebook ad.
Now, I feel like we have to maybe preface, because I don't think the BLT, I think the BLT heads are pretty confused. They're like, is their tour guide German or Jamaican? We don't really know either.
He was European.
I believe he was German.
Maybe. He started to get weirdly political. He started bringing up like their upcoming election.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like.
Yeah, because he was talking about.
No one here is English.
The thing that was interesting was that like the why he went for prostitutes is because they would buy gin for like a pence and get really drunk. So they made them easy targets. And he was like, and people are living on the streets and they are doing that today. And a lot of young people are living on the streets, and it does not have to be like that because there is an election coming up soon. Bit of politics. And then everybody just went, all right.
We've got to say, well, when we're outside the palace at Buckingham, which is, let's be honest, it's the face of the empire.
Yeah.
I would call it like the poster of the monarchy.
Yep.
And tourists there all day, and it's known for having the royal guards that don't move.
Yep.
And there's about 30 windows that go across the top of the palace, And all I could think was, and you tell me, listeners, right now, that this wouldn't be the funniest thing to have ever happened in the British Empire's, you know, centuries-long history. Just one of the people who works there, like a, I don't know, like a butler or something like that, just walks slowly up to the glass and instead of politely doing a posh wave to the tourists outside, just turns around, drops his pants slowly and presses his bum cheeks against the window.
It'd be so funny.
Can you think of anything funnier than that? Because I can't.
I can't either.
It'd be an international incident. It would imagine the news cycle. I reckon it would last for weeks. It's like, who's the bum bandit? It's an act that could single-handedly bring down the entire Commonwealth if done correctly. It, depending on the diameter and the dilation of the bum hole, it could potentially cause a ban of the Commonwealth Games.
A second London Eye would have to be erected in that windowsill to cause the fall of the monarchy.
It'd be the two eyes staring at each other, the London Eye and the brown eye from the palace. It'd be one of the great stare-offs in human history.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what happens and I don't know what the punishment would be if, like, would you be exiled? Would you be put in prison?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you are.
You'd be a legend for half the world.
Oh,
you'd,
man.
You'd be like Egg Boy.
Yeah.
You know, but you'd be Bum Boy.
Yeah, that's why maybe exile's not the right punishment because whatever country you get sent to, would just be like, fuck, that was pretty sick, come on.
Yeah.
We'd probably be putting up like bids for him to be like, we'll have him.
We parade him around, he does nightclub appearances in like Toowoomba.
Yeah.
$2,000. Yeah, go get a photo.
Spread
with
the hole. Spread the hole.
He does his bit everywhere. they make little fake palaces and he presses them up. And as we're kind of talking about this, what a phenomenon this would be. We're kind of gone down this line of thinking because it is boring. We're just looking at a fucking palace.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, make something interesting happen.
It is really just a get your photo and go landmark.
Mm-hmm. And so we were like kind of talking like, well, it would be good if something interesting happened, like a, you know, a random bum cheek or something like that. And as we're doing this, I don't usually like, neither does Blake, I guess. We're not as popular in the UK as we are in Australia.
No.
So we don't often get recognised. But randomly, we're on the steps outside the palace and we're doing this bit. I think by this point we'd reached a bit about, there was these Americans going, what do you think Charles is doing right now?
Yeah.
What do you think he's doing inside? And their accent just pierces through.
Yeah.
So Blake and I were like, oh, probably having a wank.
Yeah.
You know, doing a royal splooge. I think we're just miming being the king jerking off or something.
No, I think maybe disrespectfully I maybe shouldn't have been doing it on the palace grounds. I think I maybe alluded to Lizzie maybe having a fap.
Mm.
I was like, I'm flicking my bean.
And as we're doing this bit back and forth, bloody I'm sitting here with bloody Jack the Ripper over here. And this guy just goes, yo, what the hell? And he's like,
do you make content?
Are you on TikTok? And I was like, I'm literally mid miming being Charles getting milked by one of his servants.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I don't think it's me. He's like, it is you, I reckon.
Ah, oh, it's good stuff.
So, yeah, we've had a fun time when Bristol was so good. It was so trendy.
Yeah.
We're all kind of, I don't know, hipster, artsy.
Yeah. Yeah, Bristol was like a, it was kind of like, had a bit of Adelaide energy to it. But like,
well, this is the opposite of what I described.
Nah, okay, maybe like a, nah.
Kind of like it was fucked, there was white people everywhere. Yeah, a bit of Adelaide. That's this whole country.
Actually, no, I retract that. Maybe Bristol is like if Fitzroy had everything that Fitzroy has, but not the annoying people in Fitzroy.
Yeah, everyone was pretty based.
Yeah. But then Bristol also has, even the toddlers here are so posh. Like, I went to a coffee stand, and then in front of me at the coffee stand was this mum, and she had a stroller with her, and I assume had, like, a baby in there, maybe 3 or 4 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And then the mum gets, like, her coffee for herself and I think, like, a hot chocolate or something and gives it to the baby. And I just see, like, it maybe, like, being spat out, right? And the mum who's talking to her friend, she's just like, oh, he doesn't like it, does he? And then all I can hear, I can just see the back of the pram, all I can just hear from outside the pram is just like, mummy, I don't like it. I was like, your babies are so posh, man. Like, I went around the other side. I was like, Diana, is that you? Jesus Christ.
Our babies would just be like, fuck off.
Give us your tits, mum. But the baby in Bristol was just like, I prefer my milk from the tit. Give me the tit, mummy.
Yeah, it's been so cool, like, just watching people communicate here. I know it sounds awful, but it's just, I don't know. I guess I bet other people do it in our country. They're like, oh, they're just like, oh, no, Cleo, no.
Do you know what I think it is? When I got here, it was just everything anybody was saying was just so funny.
Yeah.
I was like, I reckon there's a chance that everybody is just mocking the accent, and there's actually the British accent actually doesn't exist. Somebody's picked it up from somewhere and everybody's like, pretty funny.
Yeah.
And they've put it here and everybody just mocks it now.
I heard a guy on the phone on the underground literally say down the phone line, oh, blimey, everything's gone tits up.
it really makes me laugh when it's a kid as well. Like me and Zoe went to Harry Potter World, which was awesome. I got a wand and shit. It was great. £32.
Are you even a Harry Potter head?
Yeah, I love Harry Potter. I wouldn't say I'm a mass, like, not as much as I'm into WWE, but as a kid, like, me and my brother would probably once every couple of months would do, like, we'd start at maybe 8 a.m. and watch all the movies and finish at, like, 4 a.m.
Okay, so you're pretty big into it.
Yeah.
You just don't talk about it much.
Nah, well, it's just not. Man, I've got WWE shit to talk about.
It's just funny to me that, I don't know, I thought you kind of got sucked in just by being at Harry Potter World, because I just know you get sucked in by an item shop.
No, but I love Harry Potter.
You showed me the wand and I was like, I got Snape's. I was like, I've never heard you talk about Harry Potter before.
Yeah, but I remember when the last one came out, we went to the cinemas and then there was a massive line outside the Aubrey Regent Cinemas, and then the people in the local paper picked out, it was me, my brother, my sister and my dad. They picked us all out and got a photo with us to put in the paper for, like, oh, Harry Potter, the last one's out, let's go. And then we get the paper the next day and we scroll to that photo. We're like, oh, that's sick. And then in the little, like, the subtext, it just said, families came out to see Harry Potter, pictured here, Blake and Nathan, I think 9 and 11 years old, pictured with their mum and dad, but it's my sister who's like, she would have been 21 at the time, and my dad was 42 or 41. Yeah.
But honestly, in a country town,
see
a 21-year-old with an 8-year-old, they go, that's a great mother.
Fair enough. Yeah. But we went to Harry Potter World and I got the wand. It was awesome. It was great. But then we're going through, the last bit of the tour is through Gringotts, the bank, and they make it really, really immersive. Like, it's all built out. And then the last sort of room you go into is like a little section of Gringotts. And then it's like, you can't walk all the way back because the back of the room is like a massive LED screen that like fills the entire room. And there's like smoke effects and shit. It looks really realistic. And then on the LED screen, which is like 3D as well, I don't know how they did it, but like they make the dragon in the last one come out and like try to attack you, and it like breathes fire. And when it breathes fire, all the room goes red, and like, and it's really scary. If you were like a really little kid, like, you would have been frightened by it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking I was. And then I'm standing
there. That you're hiding behind that.
Yeah.
Oh no, if I was a kid,
If I was a kid, I would have shit my pants in a Gringotts.
You 2 hours later, Zoe, how do you wash shit out of your underpants?
And then I'm standing next to when it breathes fire, and then the little rotation loop starts again when he goes back in the little cave. I'm standing next to this British dad with his kid who's like maybe 5 or 6 years old, and the dad's like, come on, mate, go to like the front, because there's a little roped off section where you can watch it. And he's like, come on, mate, go up the front. Go up the front. And then the kid just turns around and he's like, I'm not going up there. Are you mad?
Sounds like Ron Weasley.
Yeah. Oh, it was great though. Harry Potter World was awesome.
That's sick. Yeah, there was a good one. I like that this podcast is just us going, oh, we heard people say the funniest shit in a British accent. So we were driving our hire car out of London and we're driving like this red van around. Mm. That's the car we got given. It looks like Postman Pat's vehicle.
Yeah.
It's toot toot, chugga chugga, big red tour bus.
Yep.
Is kind of the vibe. And you can't miss it. It's easier to find a car park. And we're driving along and it's sunny days, so people have their windows of their car down, or I'm on a traffic light. And you know how sometimes you're at the traffic light and you just kind of glance across and you make eye contact with the people next to you? Usually in that situation, you both just keep glancing and look away.
Yep.
Because we're not here for a conversation.
No.
Light's about to go green.
Yep.
The guy just goes, God, the red looks good, isn't it? And I go, huh? And he goes, the red in the sun and it's red. God. And we're all like, oh, thanks, man. Yeah, he goes, oh, and he's just marveling at this van.
Yeah.
It's a Ford. It's nothing special. And he's like, God, it's glistening in the sun. And then we go away and he hits the side of his car like, oh, all right then. And then he goes, dunk, dunk, and then continues to drive.
It was awesome.
I was like, God, I'm so excited for the next. I love that I get to spend 2 months here.
Yeah.
It is a bit cute that this is their summer. Like every day is kind of like 18 degrees and overcast. And people are out there like in t-shirts.
Yeah.
Just sunbaking.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the your month of the year.
Yeah. And also about, because when I got here, when I landed here, I was like, oh my God. As soon as I saw the first taxi, like the black cab, I think I had one specific thought that came to mind. I was like, fake taxi, pretty funny, right? That's the first thing I thought of. So then my brother, who's like, he's like living here. He like just moved over here. He said the same thing in our family group chat. He was like, oh my God, the taxis here are like the ones in the movies. And I just send a little screenshot of a girl in the back of a taxi with the fake taxi logo. And I just screenshot that and I go, the movie. And then that
by the way, wild correspondence in a family group chat.
But this is where it comes in. It gets a laugh react from my brother. I was like, hell yeah, I've hit a perfect ratio with people who will definitely get that joke.
And people who you want to get the joke.
Yeah. And I was like, that's great. That's awesome. I put my phone down and then it dings again. And it goes, Paulie Pops has laugh reacted your photo. And I've not brought it up with him.
Never do.
Nah. Oh, it's great. Can I say one other thing that happened at Harry Potter World, though? Because you have to go like an hour and a half out of London. You have to go to Watford to go to Harry Potter World. It's really far out. And we get the train there, go to Harry Potter World, and then we get the train back, and we've got like my little bag of goodies, just the wand. And then there's me, Zoe, and this Irish couple of about the same age sitting opposite each other on the carriage of the train. And then there just gets this obviously very drug-affected gentleman. I think he was a little bit schizophrenic. He hopped onto the train and then he just starts doing laps of the whole carriage, just going up and down, murmuring to himself. And he had a little shiv in his hand.
Ah, the old junkie beep test.
Yeah. And I was like, and he was reaching pretty high speeds as well. And he was just like, and he was actually getting faster, like by per lap.
Yeah, start level one beep. Yeah. He's like, ah,
and then he's going up and down. And I was like, oh my God, if one of us just makes like a sudden movement, like he may shiv someone, like, and everybody was shitting themselves, right?
But if we all stay still, he's gonna keep doing the beep test and he might get drafted by Chelsea.
Yeah. And then he's doing these laps and everybody was shitting themselves. Well, I wasn't shitting myself because I had a weapon. But
and you already had enough poo from the dragon.
Yeah.
You can't shit yourself twice.
Yeah. And then I was like, and then we're just shitting ourselves, but I was like, if I just pulled out the wand, if he just tried to maybe make a move, and I was just like, Avada Kedavra.
Because you go straight for the killing curse?
Yeah, man.
No, mate, put out your Patronus to defend you.
Maybe. Or maybe I could pull maybe he's a boggart. I just go, ridiculous. And then he gets a little hat put on him or something. Everybody starts laughing. And then he's like, oh, guys.
Yeah.
Something like that. But if I did a spell like that, do you reckon I'd just go, Avada Kedavra? And because he skits, do you reckon there would be a little part of him that would just go, oh, fuck. And then he would just die and maybe leave the train.
Yeah. Did he look like Voldemort as well? He probably had. You said it was a ship. It was probably the older one, brother. You would have been screwed.
Yeah. Blake Pavey, the boy who boarded, come to get shivved.
You were like, oh, I met a junkie. It's like, all right, mate, it's clearly your first encounter with a Death Eater on the train.
More like a meth eater. Oh, it's good stuff.
I love you, man. Good to be here.
Love you, man, as well. Should we say, I believe, because we're ripping this on we're recording this on like a Monday, June 10th. I believe the next episode you will hear will be a pre-recorded one.
Yes.
So we'll be teleported back to Australia via time travel.
We recorded two episodes before we left that you still haven't heard with Tyler. So every second one will have Tyler in it. Actually, I've been wondering this whole time what Tyler's up to right now.
I've been wondering as well.
So could we get a 45 second long, no less, no more, little update from Tyler right now? Tyler, what you been up to?
Well, I've been living with my girlfriend. She is really pretty. I've been taking her around and showing her the city. Started running to the gym for a bit of good karma. Still can't resist her chicken parmesan. I bought a brand new suit for my little brother's wedding with a security tag on. That was quite upsetting. Got a couple new songs and a couple new tales. All I want to do is tell them to the males I sit with upon our head chairs. We rip a podcast, a joy we all share.
Wow. Well, that fucking sucks. Anyway, thanks for listening to this very special UK edition of BLT, ladies and gentlemen.
Can we just acknowledge that we did do a show in Oxford last night, and I know Oxford, at least to us, and I guess to the rest of the world, has this reputation for being posh and a little bit yuppie. And I was like, no, I'm going to go in with an open mind, and man, 80% of the crowd... They were sick.
Yeah.
We love middle class kings.
Yeah.
And I will admit, there was a few people after the show. I was shocked. It's because it's like people, I come home and I tell friends about it and they go, there's no way anyone would say that. And I go, no, man. These people live in different realities.
They do, yeah.
They must live in like palaces with their bum cheeks pressed up against the window.
Yep.
That is funny.
Yeah. But
I was like, this girl came up and she was like, oh, this is quite a dingy place, isn't it? And I was like, what? And she goes, you do shows. It's quite run down. She goes, I literally walked in here and I gasped.
What a wild way to reveal to the BLT heads Keira Knightley came to the show.
It's what some people call a fuckhole. It's a fucking shithole you've come to.
Dude, Blake and I just stared at her. Like, I was like kind of mesmerized. I was like, whoa, I didn't actually think people... like you existed. I was like, these are people that like, these are characters that we do when we leave the town and go, oh, this is how posh they were.
Yeah.
This girl was doing it to my face. And she's like, I gasped. She goes, have you seen the Google reviews on this place? And I was like, no.
And then, but it wasn't even a dingy venue. It was just a live music venue.
It was fine. It was like a comedy club and it's like, dude, you've clearly... so evidently never been to Dubbo before.
No.
We've been doing pubs in regional Australia for years. This was on the, I would say, upper 50% of venues that I've performed in.
Yeah.
Because it had lighting, a stage, and a bar, and like all the things that you kind of needed for a night of entertainment to run.
Yeah.
So it ticked off every single thing. It wasn't perfect.
No.
But it's
what you don't want perfect.
No, comedy shouldn't be
comedy should be a bit dingy.
Yeah. I did my show in Manchester last year in like this fancy orchestra hall. It's kind of like, I don't know, like Hamer Hall in Melbourne or whatever. That's where the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra plays. It had that energy about it, and I've done a couple of those and it's kind of weird. People go in and it's the opposite, cuz middle class people are like, "Fucking hell. It's a bit much."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, where the fuck's the bar?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's out in the foyer and drinks are $19.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this sucks.
Mm.
So yeah, it was a bit posh, but we've got two more shows there tomorrow. And so I'm sorry if it's a bit too run down and dingy for you all.
Sorry, like I'll just get that myself.
And then I go to Meg, I'm telling Meg the story. She goes, I was at the girl in the brown jacket and the long hair. And I go, yeah. And she goes, yeah, she did the same to me too. So she's just complaining to people around the venue.
Wild. Yeah. Well, should we wrap it there?
Let's wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in to this British episode of BLT. Yep.
Have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Come see the shows. I think there's still some tickets left. Last minute tickets in Germany and Spain in Barcelona. I don't know if we have any Spanish BLT heads. Mm. Yeah,
great.
I don't know much about the Spanish.
They just won the UEFA Champions League.
Oh, cool.
They beat Dortmund 2-0.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I don't know much about the Spaniards either.
And I guess Toronto is going to sell out. Canada is selling pretty well, so getting quick. I don't think we can add any more shows. So, all right.
Yep. If anybody's in London, you can come to my London show July 9th or Manchester July 8th. And then after that...
And don't worry, it's at Leicester Square Theatre, so it's not dingy and run down.
No, it's not dingy. Maybe I can flick my bean in because I'm a piece of... Oh, shut up.
You... Oh.
We love you guys.
Yeah, we do.
We've met a few BLT heads from Britain. There was a guy who rocked up wearing a VB corduroy hat and a Blink-182 shirt to my show in Bristol. And I was like, God, I've met my twin from another hemisphere.
Yeah. And there was this, and Tyler will be stoked to hear about this. Blankface has reached across the pond as well.
Oh, really?
He was like, do you remember the dude who was like, I'm about two of the sandwich. Just got to meet Tyler now, then I'll finish it off. it was great. Manchester July 8th, London July 9th, and just keeping on the same path of prestigious venues, my show right after London is in Muralbark. So come to that if you want.
Yeah, the Community Arts Centre.
Yep.
Hopefully it's not too run down.
Hopefully it's not dingy enough. And maybe I'll go to Frankston or maybe Narre Warren. Bunjil Place seems to be actually a pretty nice venue.
Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Another riveting episode. Stay curious and keep exploring. And see you next week on BLT. Like the sandwich.